Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Nathan East, hanging with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio, The Zone.
Today and really what's been taking place over the years, but it seems to be just a little more prevalent in our faces now, which, you know, makes people really think about what they're doing with their lives, how they're spending their time, how they're spending their lives, what they're contributing to the world, what legacy they leave behind. You know, those are the questions we have to ask ourselves, because I think the idea is to leave the world a better place than you found it.
Without question, it's very challenging to leave the world a better place when you have people that are basically not held accountable for the things that they do. I mean, I, from a personal standpoint, I can look at myself as being a parent, and we're both over 21. We've been around the block a few times, and I can honestly say things have drastically gotten worse than it was in our quote-unquote younger years. And it really makes me uncomfortable knowing that I'm leaving my son in this type of climate that we're in at this particular moment in time. I mean, it is really uncomfortable, and it's really frightening. And I wanted to ask you, from your personal perspective, you had a chance to travel this globe. What do you see from, I mean, as far as the difference between what's taking place here in our society, here in the States, than what you've seen in other parts of the world as far as the treatment of just people of ethnic background? What have you seen differently as far as the treatment?
Well, I don't know. I go back and forth a little bit on that. Part of me feels that it's very similar across the globe. You know, it might be, you know, conservatives in Spain that, you know, want to put women back in their place, so to say.
Right.
You know, or it could be, you know, people of color in other countries that are suffering similar issues that we are here. And then sometimes I feel like it's a bit worse here because there's so much stupidity here.
Right.
You know, it just it's hard, you know, on the global stage, you know, to be American, traveling and not feeling just embarrassed, you know. I think our situation, I mean, honestly, I don't know enough about world history or current events in other countries to say that our situation is worse, because it feels pretty bad here. But I think the other people are dealing with things too. And
right.
I think that it's the society, the, you know, global society in general really needs a healing.
Without question. I mean, I want to go back to something that you said to me that was very key when you used the word embarrassing. And I think from a global standpoint where you have other countries looking at us and seeing the things that are transpiring in front of us, and it's like there's no accountability being held. It's okay to cause a divisive society, and it's okay to as far as the mistreatment of women. And I'm like, I'm sitting back. I said, wait a minute, this is 2019, and it's like we reverted back to the 1940s, 1960s. And I'm sitting back. I said, am I lost in some type of time warp? And then when I was able to finally, when I was able to finally get a hold of your album and listen, I'm like, wow. My first thought was, incredible album. I said, too, it's gonna ruffle some feathers, because the truth usually ruffles some feathers when you finished working on the album. What was your thought process? How do you think the complete project turned out for you, being the perfectionist that you are?
Thanks. Yeah, I felt good about it. I felt like, you know, it was well worth the 2-year time period that it took us to make it. It was great to collaborate with the musicians that I collaborated with. All the music on the album is written in some form of collaboration by Aaron Parks and Matthew Stevens and myself. And then we reached out to some other MCs and spoken word artists to collaborate as well. So it was a very collaborative project, and I'm really happy that I took the time and didn't just rush through it or settle on something, you know, because I wanted to get something out. And I feel good about it.
Well, I mean, like I said, the album is incredible. And, you know, I'm so used to the adjective that's always been surrounding with you. Terry gets in the studio and she does everything by herself. She's hands on with everything from the production standpoint, everything. And then when I hear about the new band, I said, wait a minute, Terry has a band. I'm like, wait a minute, she's a one man band. You've always been a one band person yourself, and now you have a new band called Social Science. So what made you decide to finally put a band together?
Well, I mean, I've always actually wanted to be in a band, and it just kind of never happened for me.
Okay.
And I was traveling with some of my other projects, and Aaron Parks and Matthew Stevens and I would have these conversations about what was going on in our country and in the world. And I just felt a certain alignment with them and felt like these would be two amazing, incredible musicians to start a band project with. So, you know, we kept talking about it, but then when the election happened, we said, okay, now is really the time to do this. You know, let's stop talking about it and let's, you know, just go in and start creating something. And that's pretty much what happened. But, you know, I always think about Purple Rain and Prince collaborating with Wendy and Lisa, you know, in the movie. That was one of my big takeaways from the movie, that what happened when he collaborated and then the song Purple Rain happened. So.
I mean, because I know, like I said, you've always been very particular about your babies. You know, these are yours. This is from your creative process.
Well, I mean, I'm
right.
Yeah, I'm still particular. You know, and I was, you know, definitely the lead on this project.
Right.
You know, from starting it and wanting to do it in the first place, and taking all the extra time in the studio to produce. You know, that's definitely the lead. So it feels just as much of a project of mine as, you know, any of the other ones. But, you know, the music was written by the three of us, and also it was great to have a couple of people that I know and love and trust to bounce the ideas off of and, you know, to listen to what they had to say and, you know, move forward accordingly, kind of based off of some consensus. But, you know, most of the things we agreed upon, so it was all good.
You know, it is definitely refreshing to hear you say that because, again, when you have a hands-on mentality and say, look, this is mine. My, you know, my fingertips, my blueprint, my imprint is all over this. And it's very challenging for me to allow anybody else to put or give any other input on a project that I'm working on. And to see that, say, you know, I'm going to release just a little bit of control, just a little bit, and get some input from the other artists is incredible.
Well,
I
don't really feel like a controlling artist, you know. I don't really feel like, I mean, you know, at some levels, I think any good artist commits to something and sees it through, you know, and has a vision. But there's, you know, it doesn't take anything away from me to share,
right,
you know, in that vision and to share in that commitment on some level. So especially when you're with like-minded people. So I think it's actually not so hard for like-minded people to collaborate.
Ooh, that's rather taboo because how many like people mine are out there that have that have the same vision as you do?
Well, it doesn't have to be the same. It needs to
yeah,
be similar. I think you share aesthetics with people for sure. You know, like what you think is hip. I mean, you know that just from playing with somebody and from talking to them. You know, you find that you're in agreement. You know, if I was playing with somebody and felt like their musical choices weren't in alignment with mine, then I talked to them over dinner and felt like their, you know, outlook on life was not in alignment with mine, I would never start a project with him.
You know, you've been in the industry for a long time and you've seen things change from good to better to worse. We had a lot of record labels. Now we basically have a handful of labels now. A lot of artists that were on major labels are going the independent route because they have more creative control over their music. For you, having creative control of your music has always been a stickler for you. That takes control over anything and everything, as far as I've always thought that's the essence of who you are as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
What I hear now, and I'm not condemning everyone, and I want to clarify that, but what I hear now, I don't see too many artists today that are really saying anything in their music.
Mm.
It's a lot of overdriven, non-whimsical stuff. It's fluff. I don't hear anything with any meaning or either substance, quality.
Mm.
I don't hear that anymore. And then when I hear artists like yourself put out a project, even if we have to wait 2-3 years, I'll wait. It's not a problem. I'll wait because I know what I'm getting is going to be worthwhile to wait. From your perspective, am I wrong for thinking it, or am I wrong for seeing what I'm seeing as far as people not putting quality in the music anymore?
Well, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I'm not as up because I'm always so busy. I'm not as up on all the latest projects that have come out. But I do know that there are, you know, some conscious artists. The problem sometimes, I think, which you might be tapping on, is that sometimes conscious people go to make, you know, conscious projects, but their consciousness is further ahead than their musicianship or their artistry. So I think sometimes we get some of the conscious projects that, you know, don't really take it over the top for us because they haven't figured out a way to catch up musically, you know. And I think that's the key. You have to have both things happening, because just because somebody's conscious or the lyrics are conscious or, you know, the general direction of the project is in alignment with, you know, something you may like or feel the world needs, it doesn't mean that the music is good or great. So I think that that kind of synergy has to happen on a kind of equal levels for,
right,
for a project to really, you know, take off. And I think that's the problem. It doesn't always happen on equal levels.
But not only because, not only you being a musician, but you're also a teacher. You're a professor. When you have a student approach you, and this art craft, this the artistry means so much to them, what do you say to them when they say, I want to remain true to who I am, but this label is on the verge of signing me, and they want me to do something else completely different. They want me to, quote unquote, to play something that's more, quote unquote, radio friendly or radio appealing to a certain sector of listeners to buy the music. What do you say to them in that essence, in that process?
Well, that's a personal journey. And I mean, you have teachers, even at the institution I teach at, they're telling people, like, I don't know why you would do music that doesn't pay you money. You know, and so that, you know, is on the level of not just students, you know, type of artistic, you know, consciousness is also with grown people, because a lot of people are looking at it as, how do I get mine, you know, how do I? And I tend to try to encourage my students to say that, you know, create the art that you want to create, make the statement that you want to make, and be true to that, and, you know, the money and the attention will follow if you're really, you know, good at that. So I don't know, it's personal. I don't really condemn people that choose not to. Some people look at music as entertainment, and there's a place for that. And some people, you know, look at it as something that you're really contributing to society, and something that will be able to be looked upon years later and still have relevance, and also tell people in the future what was going on now. I mean, that's why we don't get tired of listening to Marvin Gaye or Nina Simone or people like that.
Because they had something to say, and it's still relevant to what they, things that they were saying and talking about from a lyrical content, what they were saying 30 years ago is relevant today. And that's my whole, like I said,
which is terrible.
Right, it is. It is. It is terrible. It's like, wait a minute. It's like, wait a minute. They said this 30, 40 years ago, and here it is, 2018, and this is still taking place right in front of us. And I'm like, this is really, it's incredible, and it's saddening at the same time.
Right.
I haven't given up hope. I still have my faith, and I believe that, you know, karma is something else. What goes around comes around, and hopefully eventually people will wake up and see that there's no need for us to live in this manner, having this type of negative diversity that's taking place in our country right now. But you know what is funny, though? This conversation I had with a good friend of mine, he said, you know what? I'm glad this is taking place, and it caught me off guard. I said, why are you glad things are taking place the way you see them in this country? He said, because it's pulled the cover off of what society really is. People that you thought were one way, they're really truly revealing who they are. And I kind of sat back and I thought, I said, you know what? He's right. People are really revealing who they are, what their true feelings are. Because if you can have someone that's running this country and causing the chaos that he's causing, and every other word that he utters out of his mouth is an untruth, and you still have people defend that kind of mentality, they're revealing to you who they are and who and what kind of thought process they have from the beginning. So in that aspect, he's right. That's, but you know what? That's all right. We got him. That's why we got the new album here, Waiting Game. Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Mm-hmm.
How did that collaboration come to be? And the single from that album is simply incredible. So how did that come to be?
Oh, well, Malcolm's an old friend of mine. You know, I used to live in L.A. for 17 years. And he was actually on another project of mine called Jazz is a Spirit. And that's the first time we collaborated. And that was, I don't know, early 2000s.
Okay.
And, yeah, but that release was a German release and didn't really get much attention here. So, you know, some people don't know that record. But, yeah, he's an old friend, and I'm just glad that it all aligned up and he was able to do it. And he did such a great job, as he always does. I mean, I tend to only work with people that, you know, I know, you know what I mean? Because I think that's the way that the best collaborations happen.
Especially when you have that level of comfortability with someone. It's like, okay, I know what to expect from them, especially the level of professionalism. And what they're going to bring to the table. As you said earlier, you said it's a vibe. If I know we're vibing together, we can work together. Lord have mercy. It's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. And also, we have to have trust with each other so that I'm able to say, you know, can you go back on this one? Can you do this verse again? Can you tighten this up here? Can you add this? You know, pretty much with all of the verbal collaborators, I had to do that because I did have a vision. But I'm also open on the other side of that, you know, for somebody to say, you know, can you do this again? Can you, what about if you did this? And because at the end of the day, for me, the music is what's important. You know, it's not about egos. It's not about me being attached to something. It's also sometimes about trying things and seeing if they work or not.
Experimentation is a beautiful thing, especially as you said before, when you have like minds come together and have the same vision. So far be it for the teddy bear to deprive the many listeners of some Blueprint music. Let's get into it. One of the many beautifully hit singles from the new album, of course, Waiting Game, with the new band, Terry Lee Carrington, Social Science, featuring Malcolm Jamal Warner with Bells Ringing Loud here in the Zone. And OTO Radio.
Oh,
Terry Lynn Carrington, new album, Waiting Game, Bells Ring Loudly, featuring Malcolm Jamal Warner, here in the zone of LOTL Radio. And remember, family, the new album is available as we speak via iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Amazon, Deezer. So make sure you head over and get the new album. And to get all the latest updates, let your fingers do the walking. Stop by Terry Lynn Carrington's official website. It's at www.terrylynncarrington.com to get all the latest updates via her social media. My queen, it is always an honor and a privilege to have you on the show. Again, much respect and love to you for this incredible album. I've been perusing your tour updates and I'm saying, man, she has to come down to Houston Edge ASAP. When are you coming down to Texas?
Well, I don't know when I'll be there, like, performing with my own band. I am playing in February at the University of North Texas, or North Texas State University. And that's with Linda O, Chris Davis, Tia Fuller, and Ingrid Jensen. And that's, you know, more of a collaborative effort group. Project.
Okay.
We're doing a residency there.
Okay.
But I'm not sure when I'll just have a regular gig.
Oh, God. February. Okay, so I got to wait, like, what, about 3 months? Yeah, okay, I will be patient. When you get here, I will definitely be in the front row. Much continued success. And again, I want to thank you for always being true to the artistry. You're one of the few artists that we still have in this industry really respects the art form. And I want to tell you how much I love you for that. Keep doing what you're doing. You know, this is your home away from home. Whatever you need, please do not hesitate to let us know, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thanks for the support.
Thank you, my love. Have a wonderful afternoon, okay?
All righty. You too.
You do the same. Grammy Award winner, Lord have mercy, Terry Lynn Carrington here, vibing with the teddy bear. in the zone. My goodness, still working on my morning Java, but it's okay. While I got you here, comfy, cozy, safe and sound. Is it okay if we get lost in some more Terry Lynn? We're going back a little bit with Country Boy Blues here in the zone of LOTL.
Mm-hmm. 26. Her hair looks different. She's weak and awfully thin. Her voice may tremble, but her mind will not give in. Where is Papa? Why won't he come home? He loves his children, but can't be we're all alone. He's always busy, don't see him much no more.
a double dose of Terry Lynn Carrington here in the zone of LOTL Radio. I want to send out a lot of love to her. Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, family, be sure to get her new album, Waiting Game, featuring her new band, Social Science, available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. If you're feeling a little bit more adventurous, you can always head over to Amazon.com. Also on Deezer, any social media outlet, make sure you get the new album. Incredible album. Again, and to get all the latest updates, make sure you stop by her official website at www.terrylynncarrington.com. Well, that's all I have for you today, my loves, but it's all right. Hey, I'm just about finished my coffee. Feeling quite wonderful. I want everyone to have a fantastic weekend. And oh, and for those who tuned in late and missed the interview, shame on you. But the Teddy Bear does forgive you. We got you covered. That's okay. All you have to do is pull up that app on your phone, iHeartRadio, and also Spotify. Type in LOTL, The Zone. Make sure you subscribe because, hey, I've seen the need. And I'm here to provide those needs to you to make sure you get some quality music and you can listen to all the interviews. That's what we're here to do, to bring quality and substance back to the airwaves. And to get all the latest updates, make sure you catch up with us on iHeartRadio. And also, yeah, we're on Instagram, on Instagram.com/LOTL Radio, The Zone. Also on Facebook with the same handle. And last but certainly not least, you can catch up with us on Twitter. That's at twitter.com/LOTL Radio. So it is written, so it shall be done. We're going to close it out with some more Terry Lee Carrington featuring the late, great Natalie Cole with Sunday here in the zone, or as I should say, Come Sunday here in the zone of LOTL Radio. God bless.
Drop in the ocean of light in the eyes of eternity. Neither round nor square in the eyes of eternity. The blessed love and soul, beautiful, soulful love. Lord.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.